get into Bethel Baptist Churches, Search in the Scriptures class, and we take your questions and we answer them from the Word of God. Before we begin today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your love and your compassion. We thank you for the Word of God that you have placed in our presence, that through it we might know you and we might comprehend ourselves more as well. We pray for you to guide us and to direct us as we talk today, that you would be exalted and glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So before we begin going further, does anyone have any questions they would like to raise up or ask? If you're listening over the internet, you're more than welcome to join us using the Yahoo Instant Messenger ID, the CMH95037. So our question for today has to do with wisdom, and that's dealing with how could wisdom be born and raised up? So let's take a look at that. And the first thing that we need to understand is, well, where would this come from? Why would people think that? So let's go to Proverbs 8:24. Go ahead, Jim.
When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains, abounding with the word.
Okay, so here we have, this is speaking of wisdom, the identification of wisdom, talking about who this I is. Starts several verses earlier. I don't remember the exact verse. But notice what it says here, that I was brought forth. Okay, and so you might look at that and say, well, wisdom had a beginning, it didn't exist before, and now it came to be. So we're going to take a look at what else that may come from is Genesis 1:12. So this is in line with what is brought forth mean.
Genesis 1:12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good.
So what is? So when it says that the earth brought forth grass, what does that mean?
That the grass grew.
Okay, so the grass grew. Before that, there was no grass. Now there's grass. Look at Genesis 30:39. You gonna join us, Victor?
Something choir director.
Ah. Genesis 30:39.
Cool.
And the flocks conceived before the rod and brought forth cattle, green streak. Speckled and spotted.
Okay. So what does bring forth or brought forth mean here?
They're born.
They're born. We have this picture of them being born and new life. Okay. Isaiah 66:6-8.
A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendered recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. Who hath heard such a thing, who hath seen such things, shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth the children.
Okay, so how is brought forth used here?
It's the birth, comparing the birth of a child.
So it's the idea of a birth of a child. Now we'll take a look at 1:1, Matt 1:25. And this one I need to use just because it's not so Jesus.
And knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Okay, so brought forth here is the idea of again birth, okay, or a life or something living coming into existence. Okay. So the language of bringing forth also often communicates the something being born or something coming into existence, the first time of its arrival type of idea. We'll take a look at some other uses of brought forth, however. Let's look at Genesis 24:53.
The servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebecca. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things.
So what does brought forth here mean? That he brought them into existence and gave birth to them, gave them life?
No, it was delivered.
So he delivered that. He brought them to the forefront of the idea. Okay. So let's go to Genesis 38:25.
When she was brought forth, she said to her father-in-law, saying, "The man who these are, am I with child?" And she said, "Discern, I pray thee, whose are these, the signet and bracelets and the staff?"
Okay. So this, when she was brought forth, does that mean that she was born in this context?
No, I think it means, children. Right?
Well, in this context, it means that she was brought forward.
Okay. Like she was,
this is the daughter. This is the daughter-in-law of Judah. Oh. And so she was charged with harlotry. And so here, when they were going to bring her out to stone her, when she was brought forward to the center of attention, to the center of what was being done, then they looked at it, and she made her statement about what she had done. So clearly, she was an older man, an older woman, because it said she sent to her father-in-law. And so that means she was of a married age, so obviously wasn't brought forth in the context of being born, but brought forth as part as being put forward for some sort of recognition or for whatever was going to happen next. She's set in the middle of what was going to transpire. Okay. Let's go to Exodus 3:12.
Exodus 3:12. And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, we shall serve God upon this land."
Okay, so the context is God is talking to Moses, and he's telling Moses that you will bring forth the people out of Egypt. Does that mean that Moses is the one that gave birth to Egypt?
No.
No. So what does it mean that he's going to bring them forth? Yeah, he's going to lead them. It's bringing them forward as the main center of attraction, so to speak. Sort of like in a play where the spotlight is now shining on the one. Ezekiel 12:7.
And I did so as I was commanded. I brought forth my stuff by day, my stuff for captivity, and in the even I did through the wall with my hand. I brought it forth in the twilight, and I bare it upon my shoulder in their sight.
So he brought forth his stuff. What does it mean he brought forth his stuff? He just carried it, right? He just was seen carrying his staff. And so people, it was visible. Again, sort of the idea of there's something different in here, and so now he's brought forward as a focal point, or as in this case, as a illustration of God's prophetic message. Okay, so we see that brought forth can have meanings other than to be born. It can carry the meaning of to be born, but it also can carry the meaning of to be that which is highlighted, or that which is brought forward for a focal point. Okay? So we take a look, when did wisdom then come into existence? We'll take a look at Proverbs 8, 22-26, and get a better context of the bringing forth of wisdom. And we'll go to Wayne.
The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the earth, of the world.
Okay. So in verses 22 and 23, there are two indications dealing with the concept of when wisdom began. So what does it say in verse 22 about the origins of wisdom?
In the beginning of his way.
In the beginning of his way. Before his works of old. And so this works of old is speaking of the creation. Now, one of the things to remember about Proverbs is what genre, what kind of literature is it? Is it historical narrative?
What?
Is the book of Proverbs historical narrative, telling the story? This happened, and this happened, and we went here, and we did this?
No.
Is it a prophetic work? Purely prophetic, as Isaiah or Jeremiah?
No.
Is it poetic works, like Psalms? It's a type of poetic work. Right? It falls under the poetry section. Job would also be considered poetic. And so in poetry, one of the techniques of poetic work is to use hyperbole. Right? Which is to take a picture and expand it beyond what is realistic, but just so you catch the idea of what's going on. There's also anthropomorphisms, or applying human attributes to non-human things, right? And so if we talk about a car driving, right, it's taking a human characteristic and applying it to a vehicle. Well, the car's not driving, we're driving the car. We'll use that kind of language. The same type of thing. You get the idea what's going on, but it's more poetic. And so here we have the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. Okay. In verse 23, what does it tell us about wisdom itself? About its existence.
From everlasting.
Okay, so from everlasting. So we have wisdom. Was at the beginning of the way of the Lord. We have wisdom that was set up from everlasting. So let's go take a look at Psalm 90, verse 2. And take a look over to Maria.
Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God.
So when does God come into existence? Always was. And that's a concept of the language is from everlasting. So if wisdom was possessed by the Lord from the beginning of his ways, when was the beginning of his ways? It's always been. Right. And so what's happening with wisdom is it's using an anthropomorphic mechanism to illustrate the works of wisdom. And so the bringing forth is not that it came into existence, nor did wisdom itself come into existence. It always has been in existence. But what it's doing with wisdom is poetically talking about the amplification or the spotlight is now on wisdom during part of this creation event that we saw. So we'll take a look at some other unique things on wisdom that were raised up as questions as well. Proverbs 1, 20 and 21. And go to Job. Proverbs 1, 20 and 21.
Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She cries in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She utters her words, saying.
Okay. Now, does anything strike you as interesting about wisdom here?
It's everywhere.
Okay. So, is wisdom male or female?
It's a she.
It's a she. So does that mean that wisdom is actually a woman?
Not necessarily.
Again, this is a poetic thing. And there's an issue of linguistics that most English speakers don't get. Spanish speakers would not have a problem with this, Italian and so forth. Hebrew has, the words have gender and number. Okay? In English, we don't have gender. Right. When we see a boat, we might refer to it as a her, not because the word boat is feminine, but because it's just been adopted, a thing that we've adopted as convention. In a language like Hebrew, the word boat might actually be a feminine word. In this case, the word for wisdom is actually a feminine word. Now, does that mean that wisdom is a feminine quality and men don't have it? No. And so it's apart from a linguistic perspective, it's just a feminine word. And the she there is there because, well, wisdom is a feminine word. And it's just a pronoun that they use to refer back to it. It's how you link words. In English, when you have pronouns like he, she, or it, or they, or us, whatever, you need to understand, well, what is she? What is that in reference to? And, in English, it should probably be more literally understood as it utters its voice. It's a more of a neuter word. It's not gender-specific thing. But there are some interesting things to look at Proverbs at wisdom. Proverbs 8:11. And Wayne.
For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it.
Okay. So, and we're going to get to what I'm getting to in a second, but Proverbs 1:20-21 refers to work. Wisdom is a feminine word. She has uttered these things. Here we have wisdom is better than rubies, compared to rubies. Proverbs 31:10. Mary gets to read this one. Proverbs 31:10.
Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above her riches.
So what do we have compared to rubies? A virtuous woman. What else do we have compared to rubies? We just read.
No,
wisdom. So we have wisdom. We have wisdom which is compared to rubies as being more valuable than. And here we have a woman compared to rubies, more valuable than rubies. So it is interesting. Okay. And we in a patriarchal society, a lot of times people are quick to discount women. If you take a look at the ancient Jewish culture or the traditional Jewish culture or the traditional Islamic culture, what's the value or worth of a woman's testimony?
basically nothing. And yet, what is God saying, in essence, is about the worth or the value of a woman, a virtuous woman. It's very precious, very worthy. It's trustworthy, reliable, is the whole picture of the Proverbs 31 woman that's here. Okay. And so we have this great picture. So what did that lead us to? In our society, Proverbs 18:22. That would be Joe.
Whoso finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord.
What does God think about marriage? It's a good thing to have a wife. What's interesting, it doesn't just say it's okay, but he says he has obtained favor. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's almost like the wife is a great reward. And that's one of the things that as men we need to look at our wives, and I'm not saying this just because my wife is here, as though she is a great reward. And not just a reward of the culture, but a reward from God. And to look at her as such, and to honor her as such. Let's go take a look at some more things about wisdom. Proverbs 2:6-12. Right. Wayne? Did you just read?
Okay, for the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth, cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, he is a buffer to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, and the man that speaketh forward things.
Okay, so what are some things that are associated with wisdom here? What does wisdom ultimately accomplish? Look at verse 12. To deliver thee from the evil man. When you have wisdom, you're not going to be hanging out with the evil man. You're not going to be pursuing the ways of the evil man. But instead, wisdom will enable you to flee from the evil man. You will not get caught up in his devices and in his ways. The book of Proverbs, it talks about, in Proverbs chapter 1, talking about a group of people saying, hey, you know, why don't we combine our purse and we'll go lie in wait and beat people up and take their money. We'll all have all our money in common. Okay. And so wisdom teaches you, don't go there. That's not what God wants us to do. It might sound like a quick and easy path to riches, but it's not what is desired. It is an interesting thing. I have heard some in communism utilize the scriptures to say that the scriptures actually endorse communism or socialism as in, hey, let's all have one purse. But the context of that verse is it is an evil and wicked thing. But you look at the thing that wisdom provides. The Lord gives wisdom. So here we get to have the source of wisdom. Where does it come from? The Lord. Okay, so the Lord gives wisdom, and associated with wisdom are two things. Knowledge and understanding. Okay? You cannot have wisdom unless you have knowledge and understanding. Can you have knowledge without wisdom?
Yes.
But you cannot have wisdom without knowledge. Okay? You can know a whole lot of things, but if you do not know how to apply that knowledge, it's worthless. Okay? You might have a whole lot of knowledge of what people taught you about where we came from, in the links between all of the various creatures on the earth. But if you don't apply the wisdom that God gives to realize that that is man's attempt to escape from God,
to justify communicating God doesn't exist, then you are lacking in wisdom, and you're just following after a sense or a concept of knowledge. As well as knowledge can be false knowledge. Not all things that are knowledgeable are worthy to know. There's a lot of times there's a lot of knowledge out there that's just stupid. Not only is wisdom associated with knowledge, but it's also associated with understanding. If I know a whole lot of stuff, and I can recite it, and I can communicate it, but I don't understand it, then I'm lacking wisdom. Okay? I have to take the knowledge, and I have to understand that knowledge, and then apply that understanding in order to exercise wisdom. But it has to be in accordance with the ways and the rights of God. In verse 11, it says, discretion will preserve you. Understanding shall keep you. Okay? And so this is the utilization of wisdom, of knowledge and understanding in order to, again, avoid falling into the traps of evilness and wickedness. Go to Proverbs 9, 10, and 11.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased.
So, where does wisdom originate? Yeah, with the Lord and with the knowledge of the Lord. Okay? A person who rejects the Lord can never be wise. They can be intellectually, they may have a high intellect, they may be intellectually superior to other people, but they do not have wisdom. They can't. There's a TV show called Bones. Any of you ever seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have one of the characters, a woman who is a forensic anthropologist. She has a very high intelligence, but she rejects the entire concept of the existence of God. So she has great intellect, but absolutely no wisdom. Her partner, on the other hand, is a probably average IQ. He's not a high intellect, but he understands who God is, and that factors into some of the decisions he makes. Okay? As a result, he actually carries out aspects or components of wisdom, even though he doesn't have a great intellect. Okay? And because he begins with God exists. Now, he happens to be Roman Catholic, so we may not understand God the way I think God wants us to understand him. Because he puts the Roman Catholicism as the basis. But the picture is, you start with God, and from God you can understand the rest of the world. And you apply your intellect, what's the wisdom come from God, into how you conduct your affairs. Proverbs 2:2-5.
So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and incline thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God.
Okay. So, we talked about wisdom comes from God. We talked about how the knowledge of God is the beginning of wisdom. It all begins with God. Here we have another aspect of that of wisdom. What does it mean when it says, incline your ear into wisdom?
Search it out.
Yeah, search it out. So in a sense, to a certain degree, wisdom is learned. You must seek after wisdom. You must pursue after it. You must apply it. Apply your heart to understand it. We want to comprehend and understand it, but again, it begins with the fear of the Lord. And as you pursue
But so after wisdom, it says in verse 5, then you shall understand the fear of the Lord. So you begin with the fear of the Lord, and as you follow after the ways of wisdom, you actually grow in the understanding of, well, why should I fear the Lord? And it feeds itself. And so wisdom needs to be sought after. It doesn't just, boom, happen to you. But you seek after it. Yeah, but it is a gift that God gives that He delivers. Okay. Seek for her as for silver, as though it's something of incredibly great value. Proverbs 13:10.
Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom.
So here's another interesting characteristic of wisdom. What does this verse imply that it somewhat comes from or grows from?
Pride, ego.
Well, pride or ego is on the opposite side of wisdom. He says, by pride comes contention or argumentation. But in contrast with that, with the well-advised is wisdom. So wisdom doesn't exist in a closet, but it comes through advice. It comes through learning from one another and learning from God. And so one of the reasons that we have classes like this, that we have times of fellowship with the brethren, so that we can share and grow in the wisdom and the knowledge of Christ and of God. It is a type of shared experience and shared growth. Any other thoughts, questions, ideas on wisdom?
I think wisdom, one word, counsel.
Counsel.
It gives us counsel.
Good counsel. Yeah. With you utilize wisdom, you obtain counsel from that. You get the counsel from your wise brethren as well. Anything else? We'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've been able to look into your word, look into wisdom. That we may come to an understanding of really how to pursue after wisdom. And that you might bless us with wisdom from above. You are the only and true source of wisdom. You have given us your word. Strengthen us and help us to apply it to our lives. That the true wisdom will be seen through us. A representation and a presentation of Christ in Jesus' name. Amen.